Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are continuing our conversation today with our friends from Lutheran camps and retreats around the United States. We're going to head to Kingston, Illinois, Schuyler, Nebraska, Waterloo, Illinois, and Woodland Park, Colorado today. Hope you can join us for our conversation as we learn about the great adventures that await at some of these National Lutheran Outdoor Ministry Association camps. I hope you can stick around for the conversation. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Find out more about them on our website at kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Joining us by phone now, Lewis Blocker. He's the program director at Wall Camp in Kingston, Illinois. Lewis, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you with us today. Looking forward to learning about Wall Camp today. Also joining us by phone today, Bruce Wall. He's the executive director at Camp Luther of Nebraska. I believe that's in Schuyler, Nebraska, correct?
That is correct. And again, thanks for having me also.
Glad to have you today, Bruce. Thanks for being our guest. Want to learn more about Camp Luther in Nebraska as well today. Gentlemen, tell us, let's start with Wall Camp. Lewis, tell us a little bit about the history of Wall Camp. How long has Wall Camp been around?
Well, we have been around for about, 52 years now, 53. We were founded in 1963 by the old Walther League. So people wonder where the Walther League went. Well, we built a camp, and now we're here. So we've been around since 1963, and we've run plenty of summer camps since then, as well as having a family campground. And for the past few decades, we've also been running programs for people with developmental disabilities and special needs.
Where would we find Kingston, Illinois? Where would we find Wall Camp?
Oh, Kingston, Illinois. It's northern Illinois. We're about 60 miles from the Lake Michigan shoreline in downtown Chicago, about a half hour from Rockford and a half hour from DeKalb. So if you know the area, we're kind of right in the middle of the triangle between the western suburbs, Rockford and DeKalb, and we're smack dab in the middle of that.
Very good, very good. How about Camp Luther of Nebraska? Brian, tell us a little bit about the history of Camp Luther.
Yeah, Camp Luther is actually, we're going to celebrate our 50th anniversary at the same time the Lutheran Church is going to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So we're approaching 50 years next year, and we're excited about that and the ministry we've done across the state of Nebraska. We are traditionally a summer camp focus, but now we're growing in many aspects throughout the year. We're excited. We hosted three confirmation retreats this year, and just growing in that area and seeing more youth get excited about their faith and about growing in our Lutheran confessions. But we still thrive in the summers with great activities. And as Lewis shared, we also have a ministry with people with special needs also at Camp Luther, called His Kids, and it's a wonderful ministry where we get to share God's love not only with wonderful people of God that have various disabilities, but also their families and caretakers who often need a break and an encouraging word.
And Bruce, where would we find Camp Luther of Nebraska? Obviously, in the state of Nebraska, give us an idea where we'd find the Schuyler, Nebraska.
Sure, yeah. We're actually located about halfway between Schuyler and Columbus, Nebraska. And if you kind of flew into Omaha and you head almost slightly north and due west for about an hour, we're kind of surrounded by cornfields and cattle farms. So we're right in the middle of the rural areas of Nebraska, but we're also in the rising hills from the Platte River, and so we're actually one of the hillier spots in Nebraska. So people come thinking it's flat, and you get a nice workout climbing up and down all of our hills. So it's a beautiful location.
That's great. I wouldn't expect anything other than corn and cattle in Nebraska, right?
And then Camp Luther right in the heart of it.
That's right. Well, let's talk about some of your favorite camp activities, some of the favorite things that you and the campers, those who come to Wall Camp and Camp Luther do throughout the year, whether it's year-round in retreats and other events or during summer camp. Lewis, what are some of your favorite activities at Wall Camp?
Well, my personal favorite activity is paintballing. We added a paintball course about 2 years ago, and we've got full sets of equipment and everything. So that's one of our growing programs that's really, it's bringing in a lot of community involvement as well as, you know, some kids that probably wouldn't normally think of coming to Bible camp for a week. Paintball kind of draws them in, and it's really nice to reach out to those kids, and it's a lot of fun to play as well. And, you know, if I get to do some paintballing for free because a group needs an extra person, well, that's just such a shame, isn't it?
Nothing builds community like shooting one another with paintballs.
And I think I think the camper's favorite, one of the camper's favorite activities is actually the Kishwaukee River cuts right through our property, and you can hop in the river on one side of camp and float down to the other side, just like you go on a river float anywhere else, and you never leave camp property, and it's just a lot of fun for the kids. So I'd say those are probably our top two favorite camp activities that we can do. Paintball year-round, river floats mostly in the summer.
not too many river floats during the winter, I gather.
No, not really.
Bruce, how about Camp Luther? What are some of your favorite activities there?
Well, you know, being in a place people consider to be flat and without trees, we're actually 160 acres, and we're all wooded. And so with the hills and the trees, you know, just hiking to camp, and we've got, you know, campfire locations all across. So I think finding those quiet places, especially for the when I'm with youth from, say, Lincoln or Omaha that often don't get out into this kind of setting, to go out into those quiet places at camp, get around the campfire, and, lead devotions and just spend that quiet time with God, because you know how we're so plugged in our society. And I think I just value those moments to be with the youth and their leaders that come, and to kind of unplug from the world and to really dive into God's word together is something I think that's really a special thing that we are able to provide, not just at Camp Luther, but I think at all of our LCMS camps. And then another one that I'm a former Lutheran High School science teacher, and one of our programs that's growing here is also our outdoor education program, and we get to bring in mainly Lutheran school kids, but we're also growing the program to kind of be a witness to other area to other schools and school systems across Nebraska, but to kind of teach these middle school kids about God's creation, but to be able to talk about it in the sense of our faith and in light of our confessions that we have a God that created this world and how beautiful it is, and to just make science come alive in this beautiful setting that God has blessed us with.
You know, talking with Tim Jenk yesterday from Camp Luther Haven in Albion, Indiana, he said some of the same things, especially regarding getting away to a quiet place from all the busyness of life. He was surprised to hear that from some of their youth and teen campers who take advantage of their treehouse village at Luther Haven. He was surprised that was the thing that they appreciated, that they liked the most about camp, was the quiet.
Yeah, and I would agree. We've done surveys the last couple summers on some of our youth's favorite event, and we have something. I'm not sure what the other camps call it, maybe the same, but we call it TAWG time, TAWG, and it stands for Time Alone with God. And you'd be surprised how many of the kids say, "Wow, what a great experience to walk away about 30 minutes a day where they can kind of enjoy different parts of the camp." And it's their quiet time to journal or to read scripture, to be in prayer. And it's just really encouraging to hear that these young people value that as one of the top activities that we do at our camp.
Who are some of the folks who visit Camp Luther of Nebraska? Who comes to Camp Luther throughout the year and during the summer? Who might sign up for events there?
Okay, you know, this time of year is really big with confirmation, so we serve a lot of our congregations. We host a few of the events, and then some of the congregations rent, and their staff will lead their own events, and we just provide a place for them to be. Our His Kids Ministry, our ministry for people with special needs, that actually is, we have a spring retreat and two fall retreats, and so that's a blessing. And then through the summer, you know, we kind of hit all of across Nebraska. Many of the people that come are our youth connected to our LCMS congregations, but we are kind of branching out and trying to use our camp as a mission station and connect kids through faith through camp and hopefully back to congregations in their communities. And hopefully in the next year, we're working on a grant and working with some Hispanic ministry that's growing in Nebraska to provide special camp experiences to help serve youth in the Hispanic community, in a rapidly growing Hispanic community in Nebraska, and doing it as an outreach there. In the fall, we do a lot of outdoor education with our Lutheran schools, and we also have a junior high retreat. Again, our His Kids ministry continues in the fall. And we're actually really blessed. Deb Burma, she's an author for Concordia Publishing House, writes a lot of women's ministry books. We are so blessed that her husband is a pastor here locally, and she every year leads our women's retreat. And so we get this little rustic camp full of ladies from, you know, all across the U.S. that want to come in, spend time with Deb at our women's retreat. But we also rent it out. We have a couple Catholic groups and some other secular groups that that from time to time will rent our facilities. And we have a time to build relationships with them and try to encourage their kids to come to summer camp.
How about wall camp? Who comes to wall camp or who might want to come to wall camp, Lewis?
You know, pretty similar groups as with Camp Lutheran. With most of our camps, a lot of congregational retreat groups and confirmation outside of the summer. One group in particular that we have started to get a lot more of than some other places is we are blessed in Northern Illinois to have the Chicagoland Lutheran Education Foundation, or CLEF, which supports a lot of our Lutheran schools in the area to be able to come out to Wall Camp for outdoor education. I'd say during the spring and fall, about three quarters of our weeks are just spent doing outdoor ed with different school groups like that. And in addition to that, the nice thing about that is there's a few, you know, Lutheran schools right downtown, and we get a lot of kids from inner city Chicago that, well, they've never seen the stars before because it's just so bright in Chicago at night that they come out here and they look up and, I mean, I'll be the first to admit we still get a lot of light pollution out here. We're not quite as far out as Nebraska or some of the other camps, but still just seeing them able to see stars for the first time is really amazing, and some of them really don't have a concept of what it's like out in the country, and it's just amazing to see them experience that for the first time. The other thing is, like Bruce was saying, with those with developmental disabilities and special needs, they make up probably about a third of our usership outside of outdoor ed, because we have two retreats in the spring and fall, the Easter retreat and the Christmas retreat, as well as 5 weeks of summer camp that is devoted specifically for them. And it's just amazing to see their experiences at wall camp and how they grow over the years. I remember one of our longtime campers, his name is Simeon, when he first came to wall camp, and before he came to wall camp, he was very nonverbal. He really didn't talk all that much. He was very quiet. And after his, I can't remember if it was first or second week at wall camp, well, you can't get them to stop talking. It's just amazing to see them open up and the difference that camp can make in some of these people's lives, as well as just the gratitude from some of their caregivers to have a week where someone else is in charge and give their caregivers a little bit of a break as well. So I'd say those are probably the two biggest areas of outreach that we do at wall camp.
Any other, hearing the story of Simeon is certainly encouraging. Any other campers or staffers, or stories of campers or staffers that really paint a picture for us of what wall camp is all about?
Well, not one specifically, but a lot of our campers, they come from, the ones that come from inner city Chicago, a lot of times they might just be coming along with friends, and they might not actually be Christians, but about once or twice a year, someone will come up to me or someone will come up to one of our other staff members and ask, what are those T's that are up everywhere? And it's amazing to just be able to share the love of Christ and what those T's or crosses are and explain to them what Christ has done for us. And it's something that they don't get at home, and they're only able to get because someone asked them, hey, how would you like to come to camp with me? Hey, how would you like to come do some paintballing with me? Hey, how would you like to come out and see what the country is actually like? And I'm sure it's a story that at the other camps you hear year after year different kids asking about those things, and it's just an amazing and rewarding experience when that happens.
How about at Camp Luther, any favorite stories, memories of campers or staffers who are a good example of what Camp Luther is all about?
Yeah, there's one just comes to mind. We work really closely with a couple churches that are pretty far out in western Nebraska from us, and the pastor there is just on fire for the Lord, and he recruits and gathers his youth and brings them to camp all at the same time, and he tells them to bring their friends. And I just remember one time after campfire, it was Nebraska summer. It was probably 98 degrees outside with 90% humidity, and we couldn't even get the campfire started because the wood was so wet and it was so humid. And just walking back from that campfire, this young man that was a guest who had been active in their youth group a little bit and other things said, I don't think I've been baptized. Can I be baptized? We did some research, talked to his family. He had been baptized, but just that realization that the Spirit was working in him. And I think that's a big part of camp ministry is, we're really not an island or that you just come in back and forth to. We're actually partnered with our congregations to have those important moments and those important conversations about faith that will lead a young man who is probably normally a visitor at youth group to that next level of saying, I'd like to be baptized. Maybe I'll be more active in the congregation or maybe even go into church work. And it's just camp just is, I think, a very integral part of the faith formation of the next generation. And as we do that with our congregations and it's just a wonderful partnership. Another story I'd like to quickly share too is just, I think, an externality of camp that I think our camps really understand, but maybe people outside camp really don't understand, is the importance also of our summer staff. Many of them come from colleges across the country. We're blessed that a lot of ours come from Concordia Seward. That's about an hour away. And many of ours are future church workers. But that opportunity to give that group of future church leaders, if they're in ministry or in lay roles in the church, an opportunity to lead and to share and express their faith with a younger generation. And I think camp is just an awesome training ground for that. And as I served as a missionary in Peru, we really enjoyed those young people that would come to our mission field and serve with us that actually had camp experience because they were a little more confident in sharing their faith story because they did it all summer. And so I think camp is just an awesome training ground for these young future leaders that we have in our church.
Bruce, what do you think it is about camp that camp experience, especially as a staff person, that shapes and I don't know, it really creates some useful skills for later in life? What do you think it is about that camp experience, Bruce?
I think it's very multifaceted. One of the key parts, I think, is that idea of living in community. Hmm. These young people are living with the campers that come in their cabins with them for a whole week, but they're also living in community with other people in their age that have the same passions. And so throughout the summer, you kind of have that really nice to each other at first, and then there's tension, but we get to practice absolution and forgiveness. We get to practice reconciliation, and they get to grow and learn together. And as leaders of the camp, we get to help them through that process, but they're also out leading campfire. So they're building, and they're really the ones that our campers remember. They remember the director because I come do chapel every once in a while, and they see me around camp. But my wife worked at Camp Luther when she was in college, and it was great. The first week we were here, the summer staff, the college students that were working, a couple of the girls ran up to my wife with a picture of when she was their cabin. My wife was their cabin leader, you know, 10 years ago when they were younger, and they remembered my wife and her name and stories throughout that week. And so I think it's that also that experience of being, in a sense, a mentor and a positive spiritual force for a group of people that you're responsible for throughout the summer, I think just builds that maturity. We also encourage creativity, you know, coming up with new games. We help them develop campfire devotions and Bible studies. And so we just really, it's a great opportunity to equip and train and to encourage. But I think it's, you know, when you're willing to sacrifice an entire summer to serve the Lord for not a lot of pay, you're not living in a 5-star hotel, and you're outside and all day and doing crazy things and managing a, you know, 10 to 12 kids, that's just a great place to form future leaders.
Certainly. Do you see that at Wall Camp as well?
I do. I think part of that community is for a lot of these kids, especially ones that go to public school, outside of their church, they've never really seen what a community of believers is like. And to come to camp and see, hey, it's not just me, it's not just my church that believe this. They're finally in a place where there are people that they don't necessarily know who share that same passion for Christ and share the love of Christ with each other. And it's really amazing to see that light bulb moment where they realize, hey, this isn't just me and my family. This isn't just my church. We're not alone in this. There's a whole community outside of what I normally experience of people that believe the same thing as me. And I think that's just a really powerful thing, especially for summer staff members that go to public schools, to be able to come to a camp and suddenly they're not alone. Suddenly they're not that weird conservative Lutheran that Jesus freak. Suddenly they're right in the middle of things with a community of believers. And I think it really strengthens the bonds of faith and is just a great experience for them.
What would you like, as we were looking forward to the coming season, starting to warm up around here, what are you looking forward to this summer? How should parents or family start planning for the opportunities in the warmer season, summer, and anything you might have in the spring and the fall as well? How can we start planning for that? What do we need to start thinking about right now for Wall Camp, and then we'll go to Camp Luther?
The biggest thing to just start thinking about is, you know, if your child is able to come to camp or wants to come to camp, what week are they going to come and what do they want to do? At Wall Camp, we offer a lot of different programs for different things. We have archery camp, paintball camp. Figure out what they want to do and get them signed up and want to come for it. And, you know, we understand camp isn't necessarily for all kids, and look at the other opportunities. And if you don't, you know, live by Wall Camp, there are a number of Lutheran camps across the country. You go anywhere in America and you can probably find a camp that's within driving distance. If you are someone who's never really been to summer camp or never been to camp or never sent your kids to camp, just look and see what's out there. It's always amazing to me people that move to another state and they call and talk to me, and I ask them, oh, hey, have you seen your local Lutheran camp? And they're like, oh, no, I didn't even think about that. I thought, you know, Wall Camp was the only camp that we have around. So just get out there and see what's available in your area. Camps are a great resource for pretty much anyone in the church who wants to utilize it. And you know, we're very flexible. If you want to bring out a confirmation group, great. If you want to bring out a men's group, a women's group, we are an auxiliary ministry. We're here to aid you and aid the rest of the church in whatever you need us to do. And so just start thinking about ways you can utilize your local camp and see what comes of it.
How about at Camp Luther? How can parents start preparing for this summer and or other spring and fall events? What do they need to know?
I think the first thing they really need to do is find your local camp. You can look at naloma.org and all the LCMS camps there are listed, and or come to campluther.org if you're in Nebraska and check out our camp. But spend some time in prayer and really think about what kind of schedule do you want for your child this summer, because camp is a commitment. 3 to 5 day camps are overnight camps are commitments, and we understand that, but also think about the blessings that the camp experience can provide and the faith growth of your child. And as Tim shared with you before, and is the way to disconnect from the world and giving them that opportunity to be still and to listen to God, and to do that in a safe Christian environment, and just really take that to prayer and consider a camp as part of the spiritual formation of your children. And then also, make sure you go through and kind of see what the camps are, as Lewis said, and the opportunities. There's also family camps. If your kids have ever been to camp, they're a little nervous, our camp provides, and I think many of them do. We have little weekend excursion camps to kind of test the waters, and mom and dad or grandma and grandpa can come. And just kind of try to prepare yourself, your hearts, and your minds to see, a camp experience is so important, I think, in the formation of our youth and connecting them to Christ in our such busy world. But just to take that to prayer and seek God's guidance on, how to best utilize the summer for your children, and to find a way that they can have fun and enjoy a great summer experience, but to also do that in a way that will build their faith life. And I think that's the advice I would give the parents. And as they look to the fall, also think about, times to be as a family. Our camp also provides you, if you want to come out and go hiking one weekend, we also have a campsite area for camping. You can bring your tent. We have 5 trailer hookups, and many of our camps have that. So call your camp and also find out what other services that they can provide, so you also as a family can be together in God's Word.
Where can we find, Camp Luther online to get more information there?
Correct. There are 2 Camp Luthers. So we are Camp Luther of Nebraska, and we are campluther.org. And the one in Wisconsin is campluther.com. So.
All right. Camp Luther of Nebraska is campluther.org. All right. Well, very good. And how about Wall Camp? Can we find that online?
Pretty easy. Wallcamp.org. It's 1LWALCAMP. And we're very easy to find as well. If you put Wall Camp into Google, it'll take you right to us on their maps, and pretty quick. There's not many wall camps running around.
Lewis Blocker, the program director of Wall Camp in Kingston, Illinois. Thanks for being our guest today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And Bruce Wall, executive director, Camp Luther of Nebraska. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you, and God bless your day.
Thank you. God bless you guys and the work that you're doing and the opportunities you're providing for youth and families. Coming up in a little bit, we'll head to Colorado at Woodland Park, Colorado, and Waterloo, Illinois. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
A religiously affiliated nursing home in Belgium is being sued for not allowing a patient to be euthanized at their facility. 74-year-old woman with terminal cancer was moved to her home, where she was then killed by a lethal dose of medicine. Outraged that she had to be relocated, the family is now suing the nursing home. They're asking damages for the extra physical and mental suffering, even though the killing wasn't delayed. Legal experts are watching this case carefully due to its potential of setting precedents. Considering the attack the Obama administration has made on our religious liberties, I wouldn't be surprised if this lawsuit were repeated here. That's why vulnerable Americans need you to pick a new president who respects innocent human life.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
If you have a question about the LCMS, contact the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Church Information Center, and you'll be connected with a real person who can help you find the answer. Call 1-888-THE-LCMS or 1-888-843-5267 or email them infocenter@lcms.org. Helping you with your questions and finding you resources. The LCMS Church Information Center.
Friday on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation, talking with Dr. Ken Sherb about the roots of the Sacramentarian controversy. We'll discuss This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough, and we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO has been listener-supported since 1924, teaching the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for our sins, and witnessing to the world about God's mercy. We are on AM 850 in St. Louis and a click away 24 hours a day at kfuo.org. If you have questions about donating, you can email us, gifts@kfuo.org.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are talking about Lutheran camps and retreats all across the country, and I have such great memories from my experience at camp. Now, I never went to camp as a camper, but I had the privilege of serving on staff at a number of camps and going to some of the camps with retreats with my youth when I served as a parish DCE, even as a DCE intern going to some of those camps. Wall Camp, one of them, actually, for a retreat that we just talked to with Lewis just a little bit ago. Had a great time at all those camps and so many valuable experiences there. Just as everyone's pointed out so far, getting out where it's quiet, getting away from all the busy distractions of our everyday lives that that surround us in our everyday lives, to have that time with one another as we study God's Word together without all those other things constantly disrupting us. Well, we are going to head right across the river here to Waterloo, Illinois. Joining me now, Bob Polansky. He's the Executive Director of Camp Wartburg in Waterloo, Illinois. Bob, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Hey, good morning, Andy, and happy Easter blessings.
Thank you. Happy Easter. Blessed Resurrection Week. We've already almost a whole week now celebrating Easter, and I bet things are starting to bud and bloom over at Camp Wartburg.
It is beautiful. I'm looking out my window as I'm talking to you, and I'm watching, you know, the things that are turning green and the flowers that are blooming, and it is getting to be very beautiful. Spring is my favorite time of the year.
And Camp Wartburg is a good place to enjoy spring, and I know summer right around the corner is quite a busy time at Camp Wartburg. Tell us, before we get into all the events coming up this year and the opportunities for kids and for youth and for families, tell us a little bit about the history of Camp Wartburg. How long has it been around?
All right. Camp Wartburg was established officially in 1963, and so we've been in existence for a little more than 50 years. It started off as just kind of a group of Lutheran families that all got together, and they sort of helped donate a little parcels of land and had a little campground, and it has bloomed and grown, and we've been very blessed and during my tenure here. So.
Well, glad that you are there, and that Camp Wartburg has been providing such a great place and great programs for youth and now for adults as well, and people of all ages really, to get away and enjoy the beautiful environment there and spend some time in God's Word and with one another.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Andy. Where would we find Camp Wartburg?
Camp Wartburg is south of Waterloo. It's about 4 miles south of the town, which is about directly south of the Arch in St. Louis. So there's a part of Illinois that kind of bows in the Mississippi River, takes a little jog west. But we're about half an hour, 45 minutes from the Arch. So within easy traveling distance of most of the St. Louis metro area.
So really pretty easy to get to. You're right, not a very long drive from the St. Louis metro area. What are some of your favorite activities? I know there are a lot of things to do at Camp Wartburg. What are some of your favorite things to do with campers and visitors to Camp Wartburg?
Well, we're really blessed having a very diverse oak and hickory forest. In fact, we have a school group out today as I'm talking. They're out doing some team building and some other activities. I already went and checked on them this morning. But probably the favorite thing that I like to do is high ropes. So we have high ropes and we also have low ropes also. In fact, tomorrow's our inspection day. So our annual inspection from an outside source comes in and they make sure everything's up to snuff. But high ropes is probably my favorite thing. I used to say caving was my favorite thing, but the caves, they've all been kind of hit with this white nose syndrome. And it was in the news last night that Merrimack Caverns is closed for quite a long period of time due to some contamination problems. So caves have been kind of taking a little hit lately, but we still do offer caving as one of our camping programs. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy doing just about anything with the kids. So I love sharing God's creation, the great outdoors with them in various ways. So.
Now, you mentioned ropes courses. Mm-hmm. For those of us not familiar with a ropes course, what do you do on a ropes course? Why would you bring a group to experience a ropes course?
All right. Well, for most low ropes or group initiatives, are something that normally is 10 feet and below. So like we have a 10-foot wall that would qualify, but most everything else is on the land. And most of that focus is on team building. And so it is bringing a group together. It could be a work group. We've done team building with work groups, churches, schools, faculties, things like that. And just to get them to come and problem solve and communicate effectively and work together. That's one aspect. And then the high ropes is normally things that are higher than that. Our high ropes course probably extends about 30, 35 feet up in the air. And we have three elements. We have a climbing tower, we've got a zip line, and we have an 11-element ropes course. So if you can imagine telephone poles and then up above, you know, that 30, 35 feet up in the air, we have different obstacles that go from pole to pole. And so that is probably a little bit more of a individual challenge because it really does test your limits as to what you feel comfortable with, but it really does boost the self-esteem. It also makes you just come to understand that, you know, by taking risks, you grow in both personal ways, and that's kind of really kind of cool and exciting. But it can also be a team building aspect too. All of our elements are set up where you can work together, so it's kind of fun to watch two people trying to do the same element at the same time, and then they have to cross. It's kind of cool. And then there's also just the whole element that when you're working on high ropes as a group, it's very important that you encourage one another, that you support one another. You know, I always joke around and say it makes it a lot easier for me to do high ropes if people are saying, come on, you can do it, versus, no, you can't do that, you should get down. That's scary. So it's kind of fun. So
I would imagine, you know, some of those obstacles are challenging enough to do them on the ground, but to do them up in the air on ropes and telephone poles.
Yeah, we have actually a few of our elements that are on the high ropes. We also have them on the low ropes, too. And so I do kind of laugh. And it creates a little different perspective. So because, you know, most of the times they have no problems with doing it on the ground. It's just all of a sudden it'll look a little bit different when you're 30 feet up off the ground. So
which element or obstacle was most challenging for you that created an obstacle to overcome, something to learn and grow from?
Well, you know, we have a leap of faith, and that's probably, I mean, I laugh and joke around because I do have a little bit of fear of heights. And yet, you know, that's one of those things that I've challenged myself and just said, hey, you're going to do this. You got to trust in your equipment. You got to trust in, and you know, the people who you're working with. You got to trust in God when you're doing this. And so the cool part of the leap of faith is it's probably only about a 5-foot span. And so literally I can walk across it. In fact, when I talk about it with the kids on the ground, it's like I could just spread my legs apart and say, it's just this wide. And the kids all go, oh, yeah, you know, jump across. And then when you get to 30 feet up off the ground, that all of a sudden it's like kids sit there. It's like and that same distance just becomes magnified. So it's kind of interesting to watch them struggle. But then there is a great big smile on their face, and there is great joy when you say you've done it. I mean, on our course, that was the last thing I did on our course. So when we first built it, I was like, I don't want to do that one.
I remember doing that, an element similar to that. It went by the same name at another camp. And basically, you were standing on top of a telephone pole. Yep. You're standing on top of it, and you jumped out to try to grab a ball, like a volleyball or a tether ball that was hanging. You tried to grab that, and it was like you said, it was probably only about 5 feet away, but you had to just jump from the top of this telephone pole out into open space. Now, granted, you're tethered in, you're on a belay system, but boy, that does it takes a lot of
get your heart going,
right?
That's for sure.
It takes a lot of gumption to just jump off the top of a telephone pole, even though you're harnessed in.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really does give you the opportunity to sit there and just talk about, you know, where you got your trust. And so do you trust the elements? Do you trust the instructors who are telling you this is a safe activity? And you just go, right, sure. and yet I laugh and say, well, you know, statistically speaking also, it is one of the safer activities that we have here. It's like, where else are you on a safety rope? You know, with a helmet on, you know, most of the other camp activities, you don't have those two things. So
now you mentioned tomorrow is your inspection. I gather a setup like that takes regular maintenance and inspection in order to maintain safety for everyone involved and training as well for everyone who's leading or facilitating.
Yeah, there's different levels. Before every single use, we inspect all the equipment that we do, that we use, and that includes the helmets and the harnesses. We do a pretty thorough self-inspection every month here, and then we are required both by accreditation and just ACCT standards, which is the Association of Challenge Course Technologies, that they're kind of the two big governing bodies for us. They require an outside company to come in and do the inspection. And so I'll plug Experiential Systems Incorporated. That's who we've worked with probably for the last 10 years, and they do a really great job. So they're up near Chicago. So
they'll come and do an inspection, make sure everything's safe, and make sure you're ready to go for the season coming up.
Correct. They're also going to, all our facilitators are also going to come in tomorrow, and we all have to show that we still know how to belay and that we still know how to do our emergency takedowns. Say that fast a few times. We have to prove that we still know how to do our skills in a proper way, too. So.
Well, very good. And that's just one part. The high ropes right. course and low ropes course is just one part of what makes up Camp Wartburg and the fun that can be that can be had there. I would gather is part of summer camp, but also part of retreats and other groups that might come to camp as well.
Yep. Yeah, we have a wide variety of groups. So obviously, churches and schools are probably our specialty. Youth is our specialty, but we also do college-age kids. Most of the colleges that are around the area, whether it's SWCC or Washington University or Webster, or, you know, I can go on and on. They come out here and do both team building and then just retreats. But we also we do showers. We have meeting facilities. I think in a couple of weeks we have our district pastors conference coming out here too. So we have a wide variety of things that are always happening. And so we have to do a lot of communicating to make sure we all know what's all happening. So, I mean, we have a Girl Scout group coming out tomorrow, so as well as a church. So.
Let's talk about what happens during the summer there. You have summer camps coming up soon. What does summer camp look like? You've got a pretty full and busy summer usually.
Yeah, we run throughout our 11 or 12 weeks. We run about 45 different programs. And some of them are just offered once, like we do a program for disabilities, people with disabilities. We also do one. We host a program for kids with cancer. We do a couple weeks for kids who are in grief counseling, who experienced a loss. But then we also run a lot of our own programs. So we do all those basic things that you think about. You know, I just talked about climbing. We have two different levels of climbing camp. We also do, you know, canoeing programs and horseback programs. We offer up paintball, not necessarily here, but and then we do programs for all school-age kids, so some shorter programs for younger kids, and then we have some pretty advanced trip camps for our older junior high and high school kids. I mean, we go canoeing on the Current River. We're going out to Colorado again this year to go rappelling and go whitewater rafting and then climb a mountain. So it's kind of a unique program that we offer. Not too many Midwest camps say you can go whitewater rafting and go climb a mountain all in a span of 10 days. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. What's the youngest program? Who are the youngest campers and the programs offered for them?
We have, for overnights, we have two programs pretty much just geared for the little kids. Well, it's called First Discovery, where we just try and get them to learn a lot of just some of the basics. Like we get them on our pond and take them canoeing. They do s'mores. They'll go hiking and swimming. They'll do a craft. If they're up for it, we'll, you know, take them over to the archery range and do that. But it's basically a very good introductory program. We have one that has really gotten very popular with the younger kids. It's called Forts Fantasy and Fun, and that is basically all about imagination play. And so, I mean, like one of the things we did last year was we had Pirate Day, and, you know, you can make all the R of bad jokes you can. But the fun part is they mostly make eye patches for themselves, and then they take a canoe or two, and they decorate them, and they turn them into a pirate ship, and then they go paddling around the pond. So it is a lot of fun. They do a Knights and Princesses Day, and they do Superhero Day and things like that. So the younger kids have a lot of fun with that.
What do we, and then for the older kids, what would we expect for, you know, the older kids, whether it be elementary, middle school, high school, what other programs available?
Oh, gosh, we run the whole gamut of, you probably can name an area of interest that kids have. I mean, we'll do art and we'll do theater, we'll do sports, we'll do fishing, and then we do some kind of combination camps. We have three different levels of what we call WOW camps, or the Wonders of Wartburg. It really started off by you know, we had horseback riding and we had caving camp you know, when the caves were open here, and we had canoeing, and all of a sudden the parents were saying, hey, you know, what if my kid really wants to do all of them, you know? And then it's like, well, that's a great idea. And so we started these little sampler camps. So, you know, the basic WOW does those three things. And then we have a WOW Extreme where they do mountain biking and paintball, and they do a little bit more extreme climbing and things like that. And then we have a middle range one where they go do laser tag and go-karts and things like that. So,
Well, sounds like a fun adventure.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, basic summer camp, you know, no matter what camp program you do, we have Bible studies every day. We have campfire every night. We start the day with devotions before breakfast. Most of the time you get to go swimming and creek walking every day. And most of our cabins are very nice, modern, so it isn't roughing it. You know, how the summers in St. Louis are. It can be very hot and humid. So we have air conditioning in most of our buildings.
Well, how can we start planning for the summer and other activities at Camp Wartburg? What do we need to know? What do parents, grandparents need to be thinking about if they're hoping to send kids to camp or maybe come bring the family to camp for something?
Sure. We have really one family program. It's called Big Kid, Little Kid, and that's about it for families for summer. What I would say is you can go online. We are the only Camp Wartburg in the whole wide world, so we are campwartburg.com. You could look us up. Our whole summer brochure is there. You can also register online, which makes it easy. I will tell you that we are an accredited camp. So we're accredited through the American Camp Association. And so that means we've met certain standards of safety and policies and procedures to help make sure that your kids have a safe and quality program.
Well, very good. The website to get all this information and to start making those plans for registration?
Yeah, it's still www.campwartburg.com. If you just Google search Camp Wartburg, just like the castle, you could look us up. And we have people from not only just the Midwest, but kind of all over the place. So come. So we're hoping to have some people from the other side of the world this year. So we've had campers from China come over. Their parents are involved in different jobs in like Shanghai, and there's a Lutheran high school there, and we've had their students come over during their summer break and participate in our program. So the sky's the limit. So anybody and everybody is welcome.
So even potentially an international experience at Camp Wartburg.
Oh yes, yep.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for sharing with us about Camp Wartburg today. I've enjoyed learning about it. Bob Polansky, Executive Director, Camp Wartburg, Waterloo, Illinois. Thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family. It's a privilege to talk with you today, sir.
Yeah, Andy, can I do one quick plug?
Sure.
If you're interested, we have a chicken dinner on April 24th from like 11 and 2. We'll serve, and then we'll do tours. It's kind of like an open house. So if you want to come out, see the camp, you know, in person. You know, it's one thing to look at it on the internet. It's another thing to be able to walk around and talk to the various staff and other people. So everybody is welcome for that.
When is that again?
That is April 24th. It's a Sunday. It's almost always the last Sunday in April.
All right. Sounds like a great time to learn more about camp and what's available there. Thanks so much for being our guest today, Bob.
All right, thank you, Andy. God's blessings.
Thanks. God's blessings to you as well as you prepare for a busy summer season. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word with Pastor Whedon. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.